How many of you were here last Sunday? How many of you were in the house last Sunday? Wasn't that an awesome, wonderful time of praise and worship? Powerful time in the presence of God. We saw so many people connecting with Jesus. We saw so many people's lives being touched and changed. And we got to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, this morning, I want us to continue to celebrate Jesus. I want us to connect with him. For those who are watching online, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so happy to have you here with us. And we look forward to seeing you soon as the Lord allows you to come and connect with us. We would love to have you. There's plenty of space here in the sanctuary. Two services now, 9 a.m. and 10:45. So you can come and feel comfortable and safe. This morning, I want us to focus in on what happened after Jesus rose from the grave. And so let's look. The message of today's sermon is Grace is Enough. And the opening passage is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Grace is enough. I want you to turn to somebody and say, "Grace is enough. He is all that we need." Amen? As Jesus hung on that cross, just before he breathed his last breath, he stated these final words, "It is finished." He had crushed the enemy. He would conquer death, hell, and the grave. He rose victorious. All authority was given to him. He forever became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, establishing his kingdom upon this earth. He is the righteous judge, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But what about us? What about us? He rules and reigns in majesty. But what about you and me? We are still in a fallen state. It's obvious with every passing day that we are born only to die. Our body is constantly deteriorating. For all of the advances in science and medicine, last time I checked, there's still a 100% fatality rate to this human experience called life. We've only managed to prolong the inevitable. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not trying to depress people. I'm simply trying to communicate a reality. We're born, we live, we die. It is the constant for all of us. We all have an expiration date. I've been looking for mine. I can't find it, but I know it's there somewhere. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 through 25 says, "Against its will, all of creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope," say eager hope, "for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently." hope. Hope is alive because Jesus is alive. But what is hope really? Scripture refers to faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. What does that mean? It means that you don't have it yet. There is a guarantee. It's yours. You're the recipient, but you don't have it yet. Think about the way that Amazon works. I know that over this past year, I'm sure every single person in here has ordered at least once from Amazon, right? So you go online, you find what it is that you want, you select it, you put it in your cart, you go, and if you have the membership, it's a one click and it's paid, and then that's that. Otherwise, you have to sit there and you have to fill out all of the information and all of that, which is a chore in itself. But then you wait. And you're waiting patiently, some not so patiently, with anxious expectation for that little brown box with the smiley face on it to arrive at your front door or wherever they deliver it. It belongs to you. You've paid for it. It's yours. You have a confirmation that it's on its way, but it has not yet arrived. Let's think about a last will and testament. There is, within a last will and testament, something that is placed within there that says that I am the recipient of X, Y, or Z. But there is something that has to activate that last will and testament. Typically, the passing of an individual whose will it was to give their possessions to those who they give it to. And so there is something that has to happen. There is what about a trust? People are familiar with a trust. There is someone who is a recipient of that trust, but oftentimes there is something that has to transpire. Maybe you have to arrive to a certain age or something that enacts and allows that to begin to be given or distributed. And so as we see these things, we understand that we are given promises, but we haven't received them yet. What is it that we have been promised? What is it that we have not yet received? Why is Jesus our hope? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our hope is eternal life. Our hope is salvation from eternal judgment. Our hope is freedom from sin. Jesus gives us that hope. He took our punishment upon himself as he hung upon that cross. He crushed the power of sin in that he was sinless. But he bore our sins and nailed them to that cross. Because he rose again, we know that we too will rise again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is our hope. Because we're not there yet. That's why it's our hope. Jesus was born into a dark world. There was no real moral code. Whatever was socially acceptable was what people lived by. Slavery, prostitution, pedophilia, child sacrifice. These were all common practice in many cultures. Even the most educated societies, known for critical thinking and reason, would gather in theaters to be entertained as wild animals devoured human beings alive, or executioners tortured people to death. Wild parties involving every lustful indulgence and mind-altering substance were commonplace. God's chosen people, the only culture who feared God, were ruled by a brutal and wicked Roman society. During his life on earth, think about this. Jesus' teaching elevated children and women in society. Whatever you do to the least of these, you've done to me. He championed the cause of the outcast and the downtrodden. He ate with the common man and with sinners. Remember the passage where he said, "Let the little children come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." I remember the story of the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus and said, "What do you say?" And his statement was, "He that's without sin, cast the first stone." He didn't say, "He that's without sin, stone her." He said, "No, he that's without sin, cast the first stone." Every single one of the accusers left because they all knew that there was no way that they truly had a right to stand in judgment, because they all were in sin. Zacchaeus. There was a guy with a height complex. He also happened to be somebody that nobody liked because he was cheating everybody. He was a tax collector and he was taking a little bit more extra. One day he heard about this guy, Jesus, that everybody was talking about, a great rabbi, a great teacher who did miraculous signs and wonders, and his curiosity got the better of him and he decided to go and to see this Jesus. Well, he had a little problem. There was a big crowd and he couldn't see. So he got in a tree and he's looking and he's watching as Jesus comes along. And I like to think that Jesus stopped there under the tree. He did. And he looked up and I like to think Jesus said, "Hey, Zach, I'm going to go to your house today." Can you just imagine the whole crowd right there? You know, what? Not his house. It says Jesus was sitting there in the house eating dinner with him, and all of a sudden, Zacchaeus stands up and just says, "You know what? If I've ever done anybody wrong, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to pay back everybody that I've cheated, and from this day forward, I'm going to live right." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to your house." That is the kind of person that Jesus was. He was about elevating people. Jesus started his ministry with this proclamation that we find in Isaiah chapter 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. All of his disciples believed that he would do this. The multitudes who gathered shouting, Hosanna, believed that he would do this. Suddenly there was a plot twist. In one day, the crowds went from shouting, Hosanna, to screaming, Crucify him. After 18 brutal hours of torment, Jesus breathed his last and was laid in a tomb. For the disciples and those who had placed their hope in him, it seemed that it was all over. All their hopes and dreams were shattered. All the doubt, the fear, the worry began to creep back in. The darkness seemed so heavy that all of his disciples went into hiding. They hid behind locked doors. Their only hope was gone. Last week, we recounted the powerful resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We told about how his resurrection forever changed the trajectory of humanity. We proclaimed that hope was alive because Jesus is alive. As Mary rushed to tell his disciples that Jesus had risen, she encountered Jesus on the road. She fell at his feet and worshiped him. When she told the disciples, they didn't believe. They didn't believe her. Peter and John took off running to the tomb to see if it was real. And sure enough, his body wasn't there. They were confused and perplexed. So then Jesus shows up in a room where they were. And they were terrified. They thought he was a ghost. So terrified he's like, what is it going to take for you guys to believe? I'm not a ghost. It's really me. Do you have something to eat around here? I'll prove it to you. Do you have something to eat? Well, here's some fish. So he sits down at the table, grabs the fish, and he's like, all right, guys. Do you believe that I'm not a ghost now? I'm sitting here eating in front of you. Ghosts can't do this. I mean, this is really how it, read the story. He gets up, come here, touch me. Feel me, I'm real. This really happened. They were overwhelmed. Because darkness was still all around them. Their hopes, their dreams, their all of the things that they had been believing that Jesus would do, this Messiah that would come and would drive back the forces of darkness and set everything right, those were still far, far away because here was Jesus raised from the dead and yet darkness was still everywhere. He would go on for 40 days. He would walk with them on the road to Emmaus. They didn't even recognize him. They didn't even realize it was him. As he's talking to them and expounding the prophecies. And when he finally revealed who he was to them, and then disappeared from their sight. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us? He showed up on a hillside as they were out. He showed up in a house where they were at. He showed up on a seashore as they were out fishing. They saw him and they came in and he had a fire going and he was cooking there. They were talking and enjoying and laughing. And then he called Peter, come on, Peter, let's take a walk. And they start walking. There's always that one nosy guy. We wouldn't know this story if John hadn't thought, what is Jesus telling Peter? Let me come over here and see. We know that because Jesus is walking with Peter. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He was restoring Peter's faith. And finally, after the third time, Peter's irritated because he's trying to get past the junk in his life. And he turns around and he sees John. He says, what about that guy? So we know John was there. There was a guy we refer to as Doubting Thomas. He was the only disciple that wasn't in the room when Jesus showed up. And the entire crowd of disciples was there and saying, he was here. He ate some fish. We saw him. We touched him. He's real. And Thomas is like, nah. Until I put my fingers in his in the nail prints, and I put my hand in his side, I'm not believing it. Jesus took the time to show up where he was. He said, Thomas, is this what it takes for you to believe? I'm alive. I rose. Come here. Touch my hands. Come here. Put your hand in my side where they pierced my side. Each time that they encountered Jesus, there was laughter. There were tears of joy. There was a burning warmth in their hearts as they communed with the Master. It was as if someone, for just a brief moment, flipped a light switch on or lit a fire. The darkness seemed to disappear. Everything seemed to be as it should be. And then all of a sudden, one day, this happens. Luke chapter 24. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he was blessing them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Matthew 28 gives us a little bit more of a glimpse into what that blessing was. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As Jesus ascended into heaven, he blessed them, saying, I'm always with you, even to the very end. I am always with you. You are never alone. Don't be afraid. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you, even to the very end. I want you to turn to somebody next to you and say, you are not alone. Tell them, you are not alone. Tell him your grace, his grace is enough. His grace is enough. I want you to listen. You may be going through a financial crisis. Maybe you are out of work. The bills keep piling up, and what's coming in doesn't cover what is going out. You're tired, you're frustrated, and you don't see a way out. Listen, His grace is enough. His grace is enough. Maybe you've gotten a report from the doctor. The diagnosis may be dire. The doctors may offer little hope. Maybe they have said it's cancer. Maybe you need a kidney or a heart transplant. Maybe your lungs aren't working right and it hurts to breathe. They may say that you will never fully recover. You may feel tired and weary from the battle, but there is a God who is still on the throne. He is the great physician who has the last word. There is still hope. Say it with me. His grace is enough. You've been locked in your house for over a year. You've been isolated from everything and everyone. Your mind has been filled with fear. Nobody calls, nobody writes. Your own family is distant. You miss your friends and your freedom. You feel stuck and alone and angry and depressed and afraid. You don't know how much more you can take. But there is a God who has not forgotten you. In your darkest hour, He is right there. Don't give up. Come on, say it with me. His grace is enough. Come on and give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the world was still dark. Nothing seemingly had changed. Yet for 120 in an upper room, awaiting the promise, everything changed. They had hope because hope lived inside of them. Jesus was not with them in a physical body anymore, but His Spirit lived inside of them. The Apostle Paul understood this. He sat in a prison in Rome. He had been beaten, stoned, spat on, rejected by everyone, and left in a jail cell to rot, a place that smelled of death and decay. This is the one who was responsible for nearly all of the writings of the New Testament. If you include the writings of his disciple, Luke. This one, Paul, cries out to God because his body was getting the best of him. It's believed that he struggled with his sight. He had Luke, a doctor, as his companion and caregiver. Paul, the one who was responsible for preaching the gospel of Jesus to the world, to the unbelievers, to the Gentiles, prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn from his flesh, referring to his physical condition. Let's look at this in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul says, concerning the thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproach, in need, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. My friend, I want you to hear this morning, God can heal your body. He can restore your marriage. He's always going to provide for you. He's with you through every trial. And he's here to calm your fear. That's what the Apostle Paul understood. That's what he was saying. I may be suffering now. I look around and I see darkness and sickness. I see people dying and my body is aging. I may be locked in a prison and I may feel like despair is all around me. They can beat my body, but they can't touch my spirit. My soul has been set free and I have hope because hope lives in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is right here with me. His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is enough because Jesus is enough. And if God is for me, then who can be against me? Come what may, I will not be shaken. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I have hope. There is hope. Jesus is my hope because he is with me. He will never leave me. His grace is enough to get me through. He overcame, and therefore I will overcome. His grace is enough because he is with me, and I'm not alone. I am never alone because he is always with me. I don't know what you're going through right now. But I want you to know you don't have to go through it alone. You don't have to go through it alone. Jesus is right here, right now, with his arms outstretched. If you'll open your heart to him, he will come in and make his home within you. You may be listening this morning to what I'm saying. You may be thinking, I feel alone. I see that the world is dark. I see the things all around me. And I wish that there was something else that could be done. I just need somebody to come and rescue me. Listen, Jesus is right here. The Bible declares that he is at the door of your heart and he's knocking. And he said, if you will open the door, I will come in and I will make my dwelling place in your heart. You don't have to go it alone. You do not have to be alone. Jesus wants to make his abode in your heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed across this room, if you're here and you would say, I don't know Jesus. I've never asked Jesus into my heart, but I know that I need him. I want you to know he's here for you, and he's ready to come in and fill your life with grace and be the strength that you need to fill your life with peace in the midst of every storm, to bring joy in the midst of sorrow, and to surround you with his love and cast out every fear. If you are here today and you say, I want that, I need that, or you're within the sound of my voice, and you have never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you've never opened up your heart to him, you never received him into your heart, and you would like to make that decision today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to do anything weird. I promise you that. We're going to say a prayer together. That's it. If that's you today, I want you to just raise your hand right where you are so we can come into agreement together. If you say, I want Jesus in my heart, I want Jesus in my life, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Anyone in this house that would say, I would love to receive Jesus into my life. If you're watching online right now and you're raising your hand with us here, and you're saying, I want Jesus in my heart, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let's just pray this together. Dear Jesus, I open my heart to you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave. And I believe that you're coming back for me. I ask that you would come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you that you accept me as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give the Lord a clap offering of praise for that? If that was you and you raised your hand, I want you to know that we're here for you. We want to connect with you. We want to encourage you. We want to walk this road together with you. For all of us, I want you to hear this. You are not alone. You are never alone. God's promise is to be with you. He's here right now, right where you are. He's with you. It may seem dark. You may feel hopeless. Will you just stop right where you are? Just stop right now. Just stop and look up. Not with your physical eyes. I want you to close your eyes for just a minute. Come on. Let's close your eyes for just a minute. And can you just stretch your hands toward heaven? Come on, let's do this all across this place. If you're watching at home, join us with this. Stretch your hand towards heaven. God is here right now. Jesus is here right now. Let him bring you peace. Let him comfort your soul. Let him fill your heart with joy. Let his love surround you right now. Can you feel him? He's here. He's here. The healer is in the room. Your deliverer is in the room. Your Savior is in the room. Your provider is in the room. Jesus is in the room. Will you just open up your heart and receive him right now? Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and
lift your voice one more time, say, would you all stand to your feet right where you are? God's grace is enough. His grace is enough because he is right here with you. Lord, I ask that you would just help each and every one of us to believe that no matter how dark the circumstances may be, no matter what is happening around us, we can put our hope and trust in you. And know that because you live, we shall live. Know that because you are alive, we are alive and well. And you are going before us and you're making the crooked paths straight. You are filling our hearts. You are blessing. You are caring for us. So Lord, help us to know that we're not alone. I ask for a divine revelation of your presence to everyone within the sound of my voice. May they receive your presence. May they receive your presence. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Receive his presence in your hearts. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name.